Welcome back to Bears Blitz, brought to you by Xfinity. As always on Thursday, we welcome in our ChicagoBears.com senior writer, Larry Mayer. And, Larry, what are some ways that the Bears can potentially attack this Kansas City defense? When you look at them statistically, you see a lot of similarities from what we saw from Oakland a week ago. A lot of points given up, a lot of yards given up. This seems to be their strong suit would be defending the run, but the Bears were able to exploit that a little bit last week against Oakland, too.
It is, Chris, but I think that really the key, as always, is to have a balanced attack on offense. And the big thing is to avoid penalties that put you in sure passing situations, especially in an atmosphere like Kansas City. A lot of people talk about Seattle, and it's known for the noise there. Kansas City is one of the loudest stadiums I've ever been in. It's like a college atmosphere. It's almost impossible to hear. So I would say it's the same type of philosophy and mentality you have to have going in there. You can't hurt yourself. And I was very, very confident in how the Bears performed last week with Jay Cutler stepping in, showing a lot of toughness, only missing one game with a hamstring. And I'm confident they can do the same thing again in terms of moving the ball and putting it in the end zone. He threw for 281 yards and two touchdowns, and obviously also Matt Forte had a good game as well. The key, as always, is balance.
And balance means running the football as well as they possibly can. When you look at the KC's defense, we know they got, you know, the edge rushers, but what about stopping the run? Not so much.
No, well, I think they do a pretty good job of stopping the run. They have this year, but, you know, they don't just rush the passer, but they're dangerous in those areas, too. However, if you look at some of the games, I mean, Andy Dalton had a pretty good game against them, so, you know, it's tough. It's really weird, actually, looking at their statistics. If you look at Alex Smith last game, 386 yards passing. I think it was the third most in NFL history for a team that didn't score a touchdown.
It was unbelievable. I saw 21. I think, okay, three touchdowns,
right.
Seven field goals.
Exactly. I mean, it's incredible. Think about this. They gained 446 total yards. They possessed the ball for like 36 minutes, and they scored on 7 of 10 possessions and still lost by 15 points. So you know that Kansas City, you know right now the emphasis in Kansas City is taking those possessions and turning them into touchdowns, and only three of them were actually in the red zone. The other ones were long field goals, but you got to score touchdowns on
them. Well, that's what Buddy Ryan used to tell us from a defensive perspective. I don't care if you guys play between the 20s, so just don't put it in the end zone. Right. And that's where the whole theory about bend but don't break and all the rest of that came from. But you know what? That's a sign of a problem that is going to be an ongoing one for them. And that is, get down to that red zone, what happens to your offense? So we'll keep an eye on that on Sunday for sure.
Yeah. Let's hope it continues to be a problem.
And let's talk a little bit about the offensive line. I think there are several factors in play here, most notably whether Patrick Omame might be ready to start. You also have the environment that you just talked about in Kansas City. That's a factor. Plus, you know, you got the guy's working his way back from surgery, but Dontari Poe, two-time Pro Bowler the last couple of years, working his way back from back surgery, 345 pounds. And I know when I asked Adam Gase about that matchup in particular today, he said it's going to be a matter of, you know, if Hronis is in there, it's going to be a take a village type of philosophy in order to keep that guy off the back and you know, having too much of a push up the middle, too.
Right. I think also what Adam Gase said was it depends on how comfortable they feel going into Kansas City with which lineup. And it's going to be interesting to see whether they do go with Matt Slauson like last week where he's playing out of position at center, or if they go with Hronis Pursue, who Jigs mentioned before is a third-round draft pick from Oregon. This is a guy that obviously has never played in an NFL game, but he was a four-year starter at Oregon. He played there even with Kyle Long one season in 2012, so he's very experienced at that level. Like Jay Cutler said today, though, there's going to be a learning curve no matter which guy plays in center because they don't have a lot of experience, NFL experience playing the center position. But it is going to be, as Jigs can tell us better than anyone, everybody's going to be on the same page up front, especially in that type of atmosphere.
And that's where it helps to have a guy who has been playing the position. Because of the calls and stuff like that, you know, you understand them a little bit better than the guards and the tackles for sure. But, you know, you're comfortable making those calls. And like you said, a four-year starter, that's a guy that's an automatic, I think. And he's played pro football before. He's in the Pac-12, right?
Wow.
And
Jay's taking a shot.
And Jay, and Jay said all his career he's worked with veteran centers, too.
Right.
So,
you
know, whether it was back in his days in Denver or back here with Olin and with Roberto Garza, that's a little bit of an adjustment he has to make, too. But as long as Hronis knows his stuff, you know, I think the coaching staff would be confident getting him out there. The other one I'm wondering about, too, is, you know, Eddie Royal hasn't practiced yet this week. That's nothing unusual. He's missed some practices in recent weeks, come back to play on Sunday. But if by chance both Alshon Jeffrey and Eddie Royal are missing from that offense, you got to roll the dice with Marquise Wilson. At least he showed a little flash last week. Now it's a matter of consistency with him, isn't it?
Absolutely. And the interesting thing to me with Marquise Wilson is he showed a lot of promise. In fact, I remember in a season finale a couple years ago, Jay Cutler really showed a lot of confidence in him in key situations. Then he had a great training camp last year, got injured, missed half the season. Now he's back, he's healthy, and the most important thing is the confidence. You saw it building last week in the plays that he made. He had 80 reception yards, set an all-time record for him as a guy, individual. And I think those two catches he made on the game-winning drive really will help him out in terms of building his confidence, believing that he can do it and achieve stuff. The thing is, I love seeing how guys react after something bad happens and adversity happens. He dropped a pass late in the game, and he fought back, and it didn't seem to bother him, and I think the Bears are going to like that.
He's on the cusp of becoming an outstanding receiver. The mental aspect of getting over that hump and understanding how he can dominate this game if he wants to is the thing that he has to work on now. Just accepting that fact and dealing with it and going and putting it out there. This is the game I want to dominate and figuring out how to do that. If he does that, I think the future is very bright for this young man.
I know when Brandon Marshall was here, everybody always spoke about how Brandon and Alshon were the big receivers, but a guy like this, Marquise Wilson's 6'4". He's very thin, very kind of built like Bernard Berrien, if people remember Bernard Berrien, but he's still 6'4", and he has excellent length, and he can catch those balls, reach up and grab them. And he has shown that ability, and like I said, I think the confidence is going to help him, and he's obviously going to get more opportunities, especially if they continue having injuries at the position.
And plus Kansas City going through a situation in its defensive secondary. They have one of those big physical cornerbacks in Sean Smith, and if Alshon or Eddie Royal aren't out there, you'd figure Marquise draws that matchup, and plus their first-round draft pick, kind of an up-and-down controversial pick, but it served a need with the injuries and the situation with Eric Berry that they had last year. There's a talent level in Kansas City, but obviously through the numbers so far, they just haven't been able to reach it yet
right.
in the passing game.
Exactly. And like we talked about the numbers put up last week. The thing that's going to be interesting to me, flipping it over to the other side of the ball, is the Bears are going against a team that's given up 19 sacks, most in the NFL. The Bears' defense really seems to be gelling in the last couple weeks, and I'm really going to be interested to see how they attack this game, if they are gelling, and if they do, they take another big step, because the last two games have been really excellent for the Bears' defense.
Yeah, Andy Dalton averaged 13.4 yards an attempt last week with Cincinnati against that Kansas City defense, and you're hoping that the Bears can get a little bit more of that coming up this Sunday.
The question I have, too, about the Larry is what happened to the wide receiver group there? I mean, a couple of years ago, I remember Bo and all those guys were out there. Everybody's all excited about the possibilities. And now, you've got basically one guy, Jeremy Maclin, making noise. Right. And other than that, you don't hear a lot.
Well, they went a while without having anyone. When Dwayne Bowe was injured all the time, and he moved on, and I believe he was a healthy scratch this year with another team. So it's interesting to see kind of how that falls off. But you're right, they went over a year without having a wide receiver catch a touchdown pass. That recently was broken when Jeremy Maclin did it. But it is an interesting group. But, they don't have Tony Gonzalez, obviously, anymore. Right. They have Kelsey as a tight end, who's a big weapon.